What is up, folks? And no, I'm not going to say welcome. I am somewhat saying welcome to the All Basketball Podcast. This is the first of hopefully many of the Robin Reese show. It's a show within a show. This will be the inaugural episode where we merged the All Basketball Podcast and the Rob U Sports Show, and we come together to talk about the sports we think that matter most. That's the NBA and the NFL. And what we concentrate on, what has the best storylines. So we're going to be giving you a little bit of that here today, with five topics from each side. We're going to be talking about those topics. I'm Maurice Dixon. That's where you get the Reese from. You got Rob, where you get the Rob from. And we're both graduates of North Carolina A&T State University. Degrees in broadcast news, something you don't hear as much anymore. You hear maybe journalism or new media,
right?
Or whatever else is out there. But I'm gonna let Rob go and say a little bit. But this is the first of many of the Rob and Reese Sports Show.
That's right, y'all. This is the Rob and Reese Show, the Reese and Rob Show, and we just coming to y'all talk about sports that matter to us. You know, Reese and I go back to the A&T days. I met this brother in the fall of 1998. He was a real one then. He's a real one now. We kept our bond. We kept our brotherhood. We pursued this sports media. We pursued this sports journalism. And, you know, we both trying to take our platforms to another level. Me with the Rob U Sports Show podcast. My brother here with the Maurice All Basketball podcast. So right now we're just giving y'all a taste of the best of both worlds for a lot of urban / black sports fans. You know, a lot of us brothers focus on football and basketball and think that's going to be the way we make our way out the hood or, you know, to a better situation. And we may not have made it as players, but we're still doing our journalism thing. And, you know, we're going to share some of our sports opinions and some of the top sports stories going on right now in the NBA and NFL. And Reese is going to start it off with the NBA.
Yeah, so, Rob, it's May 31st, and what that means is it's NBA Finals time pretty much when you see that number on the calendar. The NBA Finals matchup is set for tomorrow night, starting in Denver when the Nuggets host the Miami Heat, the number 8 seed of Miami Heat. They've won against all doubts. They've prevailed. I mean, they got a break with the Giannis injury in the first round, but beat them 4-1. So really wasn't. They just took advantage of the opportunity, then beat the Knicks in 6, and then Boston just recently in 7. Crazy stuff. The Heat went up 3-0. And then Boston stormed back to get the next 3, and everybody thought they were going to be the first team out of 150 to come back from a 3-0 hole in an NBA playoff series. It's been done a few times in hockey and once in baseball with the 2004 Red Sox when they beat the Yankees. But it seemed set up like Boston was going to do it, and with all the comeback stories that town has, like I spoke of, the Red Sox over the Yankees. Unfortunately, and to my, it makes my blood boil, the 28-3 comeback the Patriots had against the Falcons. And it just seemed set up for the Celtics to do it, but they came out laid an egg, man, just chucking up threes, became predictable. Now, Tatum did turn his ankle, but they just never adjusted. In Miami, Butler led the way and got a lot of help from role player Caleb Martin. I mean, Miami just got good shots. Boston took a lot of contested shots, and they just didn't adjust well. And Miami has the coaching advantage, and they have the, I guess, the grit advantage, a way to put it, because 7 undrafted players is crazy, but they are in the NBA. They've earned their stripes like everybody else. And Brown had one of his worst games. like I said, Tatum turned his ankle but never played well, and they just couldn't get any rollover of that momentum from that crazy Derek White tipping in the game, end of game six, when everybody thought it was over. But Miami just proved to be the better team, and usually the better team, yeah, Boston's better on paper, but Miami was the better team, because the better team usually wins a seven-game series. So just crazy stuff. And now they got a major matchup with probably a major matchup issue against Jokic, because Bam Adebayo will have his work cut out. Whoever else they try to put on him, Zeller, he's going to be so. But I know Miami's coaching staff and their players, they've been looking at film, and they'll probably figure out something. I got Denver in six, but if Miami wins, I wouldn't be surprised. It might just be one of those years where something out of the ordinary happens.
Yeah, you never know, man. I think it's going to be a good matchup. I like that people can see a team like the Heat make it to the finals. And then, you know, it shows you that it's not always about having the biggest star players or making a super team. Sometimes you have to, instead of making a super team, you have to make your team super. And I think that's what teams like the Heat and teams that can, you can take a dirt, you can take a rock out the dirt and turn it into a diamond. You can shine it up. And that's what that culture, that team does. You know, they instill the toughness, the hard work, the dedication, the love of the game, the love of the craft. And it goes into those players, and you see it come out in the court with great coaching, great game planning, great leadership in the front office with Pat Riley there and Spoelstra leading the way. And the Heat, they got everything that they work for, so they definitely deserve to be in the position they're in. The Celtics, as you mentioned, on paper, the Celtics would look like a better team or a team more worthy of the NBA Finals this year, but it's not always about having big names and bright stars. They have to show up at the right time and those big moments, and that's what's going to lead you to a NBA Finals. So in this matchup, it's going to be interesting to see how the Heat are going to try to slow down Jokic, who's been having so many triple doubles and being such a facilitator, scorer, and rebounder for his Denver team, and those Denver role players stepping up as well. So with the Heat, it's definitely going to be a team effort led by Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And with the Denver Nuggets, it's just going to be the star power of Jokic, his ability to facilitate, and also some of those key role players stepping up as well. So I think it'll be a good matchup, but I also will choose Denver, and I'll say I think that Denver in six sounds pretty good, man.
Okay, on the NBA Finals preview podcast with a few other guys I just had recently, Mike called for a sweep. So well, do you think that's blasphemous?
I wouldn't say it's blasphemous, but I would just say with the experience and X's and O's and studying film and knowing what your opponent likes to do and what spots they want to get to, I think it's going to be hard for the Nuggets to sweep the Heat, just because the team is too well prepared. The team does too much game planning, X's and O's, dedication, hard work, training, practice. And I think it's going to be hard to sweep them. As a matter of fact, they might try to take it to seven games. So I wouldn't say they would get swept. If they do, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, I'd be surprised as well. We're having a little connection issue here, Rob. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, we're back up. It's, on the side that I want to ask you, so with when we're talking about Boston, it obviously came down to coaching. They now this was Brad Stevens' pick. The pick Mazzulla, he was on the second row. Now with NBA, you have a first row or the second row.
but coaching depth.
yeah. And so, and the fact that he picked them, and maybe he saw something in them, or maybe he wants to mold them, or but
right.
Then they lost Damon Stoudemire to Georgia Tech, and Will Hardy went to Utah, so they lost some big time assistants. But he didn't he didn't adjust to do anything different in that game. He was getting, and people were critical, like, you gotta stop just chucking up threes, especially contested threes. I know you got to keep up, because Miami hit half their threes, but you need to do something different. I mean, Derrick White was doing a little bit, but now I understand why Boston kind of fell into what they fell into, because Tatum's ankle is hurt.
Right.
And so he's kind of limited. So White started driving, but the other guys tooted him. But only thing, Jaylen Brown, he's driving. He can't go left. I mean, just needs to stay strong right, a la Clyde Drexler was Trail Sprewell, but they know that's coming. So, and that bit him in the butt. Now they are still young, but the fact that now I don't think they should get rid of the coach, but do you think how they handled the Udoka situation? Because it kind of came down to that. Like, maybe they wouldn't even been in this position since they beat him last year with Udoka, even though it took 7, they had to win on the road. But do you think Boston made the right decision to, I mean, kind of suspend him, and then pretty much they fired him, but I said they fired him because he got a job in Houston now.
Right. Well, I think it was going to be a hard decision for the Celtics once those rumblings and rumors started coming out of what was going on inside the organization with Udoka and different things he was probably doing with people's wives or girlfriends or things of that nature. So I think they had to definitely draw a line in the sand and do something to reprimand him. And maybe now, of course, hindsight is 2020, so they might be looking back and saying, well, did we get rid of the right person, or did we put the right person into the head coach's seat? So it's easy to look back, but when you have something like that going in your organization, it's like you don't want to start permeating out. And I think they really had to make a stern decision and a stern judgment of saying, well, we're going to suspend him and eventually give his job away. Now, get the job away, you're also giving away his talent and his expertise as a head coach. And that could have been some of the things that the coach inherited the team wasn't as savvy about, especially losing multiple assistants at the same time. So I still would say Boston made the right decision, especially because that type of situation could have torn the organization apart. And to keep somebody in that position of leadership after they've been disrespectful to multiple women and people's relationships, it wouldn't have been good. So they definitely, I think they did the right thing. Now, if they should have brought him back at another time, that's, you know, who's to say here or there, but he definitely did deserve to get suspended for some length of time. But also, some of the onus has to be on the players. You can't put everything always on the coach. And maybe sometime in the heat of the game, those players need to be more vocal into pulling an assistant or the head coach aside and saying, I see this going on. I see them trying to do this. We should try to take this away, or we need to make this kind of adjustment. So I don't think it's always fair to just put everything on the coach when the coach is not the one actually out there playing the game. The coach is out there telling you, you know, what to do, look for this, run this play. But the players have to take some accountability in the loss as well. So I would say maybe 60-40, 60% coach, 40% players, because as we know and as we've already heard, there's been a lot of finger pointing going on to Jaylen Brown, and, you know, is he now a movable piece? Are they going to try to trade his contract for some assets or future players or better players, or what are they going to try to do with his contract as a player? So they're already trying to start the finger pointing in certain directions, but you win as a team and you lose as a team. And the team is comprised of the coaches and the players. So let's just not all put this all on the coach.
Right, yeah, because we don't know, but the players have to listen. Sometimes the players don't listen. I mean, right. I give you a quick example. I recently read the Scottie Pippen book, Unguarded, and we may talk about him because he is tripping again. But he said when he was in Portland and that game 7 against the Lakers when they had him on the ropes, Mike Dunleavy called a play to do whatever it was. But while they're walking on the court, Rasheed Wallace told Steve Smith, I'm a pass you that mug. I'm going to get that mug. I mean, I'm not going to use the expletives he used, but we gonna do this, and I'm gonna kick it out of you. We gonna shoot a three, and like it wasn't the play. So he was at first thing he said was, I'm pretty sure he said F that B or F that mother, like the coach talk about Dunley. We gonna do this. So if the players don't listen, if they don't respect you, then you can't win unless you come out and say, well, they aren't listening to me. And I never heard a coach say that. I may be forgetting something, but I never remember hearing the coach like, these guys aren't listening. They'll say like, they're not responding, or the PC thing is just not, I'm not getting through to the guys, but they won't throw them under the bus.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Boston has some things to figure out. Definitely going to pay if they're going to pay Brown and Tatum all that money. I think they should. They're still young. Most teams don't.
Yeah.
Guys don't win before 27. It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, of your great players, I mean, like you can say Magic, Bird, and somebody else. Oh, Kobe. But a lot of guys who were young, they were role players, came into a winning situation and got a ring. But because I was doing some research on it, but a lot of your stars, all stars, and even all time greats, most of them don't win until they get around that prime age of 27, 28. It's just the way the NBA's kind of
bingo. Yeah, and it's probably a learning curve too, you know? Like, you got to learn how to be successful. You got to learn how to win in the league.
Definitely. So what you got
become
for us?
A professional athlete.
A football.
I'll take care of your body. And
yeah. Okay. You still there? Having a little lagging issue.
But yeah, man, it's probably definitely a learning curve too, man, for the players coming into the league to really become a professional, learn how to play with your teammates, learn how to conduct business on and off the court, and then put it all together as you mature as a player and as a man, you know?
Definitely. So what you got on the NFL front? I mean, I know it's the offseason, but what's out there that people may not know about?
I mean, some of the biggest, you know, headlines right now is, of course, Tom Brady buying a minority ownership of the Raiders. And this is all happening at the same time when Jimmy Garoppolo has an injured foot. And we all know how Tom Brady likes to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. So this kind of just opens that door a little bit of, you know, I'm here, I'm an owner, but you know, if y'all need me to suit up, I know the equipment manager. And he got a jersey waiting in my size and some pants too and some pads in there already. And I just happened to have some cleats in my trunk.
So what, when did Brady just take this, why did he take this ownership stake a while? It was just a business opportunity? Or?
I think it's something that Brady has been trying to get into for a while, and he may have been, you know, kind of just sticking his foot in the pool, just kind of test the waters a little bit. But of course, it was rumored that if Brady was to join the Miami Dolphins when the owner was trying to get him there, that would have been part of his compensation to become part ownership of the Dolphins, as well as bringing in Sean Payton from the New Orleans Saints. But of course, that plan did not come to fruition. So now maybe Tom Brady had a chance to, you know, do his due diligence throughout the league and see which owners were willing to bring him in as a partner. And it's been rumored that the Vegas Raiders ownership was having some supposed money problems or cash flow issues with the organization. So Tom Brady probably knew that would be a good place where he can, you know, deposit a few million, or, you know, 50, 40, 60, whatever million. 100,000, 100 million, whatever, and get a slice of the pie. But the tricky part will be if the owners will approve a vote that would allow him to be a owner/player, because he would have to have that approved by 32 of the owners, and it has to be a unanimous decision for him to be allowed to play and be an owner. And there also will be some tricky salary cap negotiation or management, because how would they total his compensation with player salary and with ownership stake? See what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, you're right. I mean,
Brady, so it's like right now, you don't want to give it up, man. It's like he loves the limelight, he loves the spotlight, he loves being the GOAT. And I mean, if it's going to work out, it will be interesting to see it. But right now, it's just kind of like a lot of rumors and a lot of opinions floating around about it. And also, he hasn't come out and said anything as far as I'm definitely retiring. But in week one, the New England Patriots are having kind of like a Brady, Brady homecoming or celebration of his all the things he did for the organization week one. So we'll see how it pans out, man.
Who are they playing, the Raiders week one?
I would have to check the schedule to see what they're playing, but I don't think they're playing the Raiders in week one, though.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised they I guess when would you do it? So I guess it makes sense to open the season up and do it. I just had enough Tom Brady, man. I mean,
you all Brady'd out, man.
Yeah, man, it's been over 20 years. Like, come on, man. Damn, just, I mean, he went to Tampa and broke right for him. I mean, Mahomes didn't have any protection. They played him. But I'm just tired of stuff breaking right away for this guy, man.
Everything didn't go the right way for him as far as he did get busted for the deflate gate. We know that. He did have to destroy his own personal cell phone. We know that. He did have the issues with the Patriots where he was always taking the home team discounts just so Belichick could always have a formidable defense on the other side. So I won't say everything always went right for him, but it's like you can tell certain players, the NFL kind of puts their arm around them and coddles them a little bit, and they want to protect that legacy of, this is what a professional athlete should look like, and this is what he should act like and sound like, you know?
Okay, got you. I think, yeah, we kind of covered two of my topics, so I'm going to let you go ahead, and because we covered the Celtics and the previewing the finals a little bit. So what else you got on the NFL front?
Well, another hot news right now for the NFL is the release of DeAndre Hopkins cut by the Arizona Cardinals. It was a team that was not going anywhere, and basically they knew it, and they were going to be without their quarterback Kyler Murray starting the season. So I guess instead of just holding DeAndre Hopkins hostage, they decided that they would just let him go and find a team. They still do owe him a little bit of money off a dead cap hit and some guarantees he had in the contract, but after that, he'll be free to sign with whoever he wants. And speaking of the Patriots, that's one of the teams that are allegedly, supposedly interested in taking a look at DeAndre Hopkins, along with the Kansas City Chiefs and maybe the Tennessee Titans and maybe anyone else who's looking for a nice star receiver. So I don't know if news has already broke of him signing somewhere, but it should be pretty soon, man. But the real question is how much he has left in the tank. And will he really be able to contribute to a team that's almost there?
But he's only about 30, right?
Yeah, but it's like, is he on the right side of 30 or the wrong side of 30?
I guess I say that because he is a receiver. Now, if he was a running back, it definitely would be over. But as a receiver, you would think, unless he has a serious injury history. I know he balled out when he was with the Texans. I mean, he was getting a lot of notoriety for what he was doing there, but they just what, right, first round and out. I mean, divisional, yep, round. And I mean, then he went for the Arizona, and I saw some of the stats showing that when him and Murray played together, they were very productive. And then without Murray in the lineup, I mean, who was it, Colt McCoy, I guess, couldn't give him the ball, or you were.
Yeah. But also, yes, it's like with DeAndre Hopkins, I think the main thing is how much is left in the tank, and is he worth his asking price or is he at the point in stage in his career where he'll take a little home team discount to go to a team that's he feels is going to be missing? He's the missing link to get the Super Bowl.
Right, because I'm thinking, I would that be Buffalo? What about Baltimore? It doesn't seem like Lamar Jackson needs some. I mean, I know they got somebody, but if
well, they got OBJ, they got Zay Flowers, they got Nelson Aguilar, so they got at least somewhat decent depth, and they had a guy over there who I think was a rookie last year. He put up some decent numbers.
Okay, because since Lamar Jackson said whatever he said. The hyperbole he used, I'm pretty sure you heard it about this being the best. Hey, what did he say? I wish I knew exactly what he said.
He probably said something to the effect of this is the best receiving core he's ever had, maybe, since he's been there.
No, it was something about the offensive coordinator. It was something along those lines.
Oh, I heard about that. He was just saying he expects to run less and pass more in this offense now.
Right. This is the something he said, something else he said about it being the greatest offense. So yeah, I'm about to say yeah, somebody pick him up. But yeah, I guess I think that would be a good insurance policy for. I mean, let's be honest, Odell Beckham just—he just been hurt a lot, man. I mean, I don't know how much you can really trust his body. But they only gave him more than a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was 1 or 2. I gotta check my notes. It may have been a deal,
like a 1-1, because he got all deal. Like, he got all.
Yeah, he did get some guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see all those guys get guaranteed money. I just think the quarterback's gonna have to sacrifice. Somebody's gonna have to sacrifice in a different way, or I would say they go extreme, like we're not going to play until everybody gets paid. But that's
I think the truth of the matter is with the NFL, it boils down to you have to have a more proactive and demanding NFLPA. They have to let these owners know there is no NFL without the players. Y'all got the stadiums, y'all own the teams, but if we don't come play, you got to go find some people to fill in these jerseys to play this game, and nobody's gonna know who they are. So I think in the future, in the next, you know, whenever the next collective bargaining agreement comes up, I think the NFLPA needs to really be stern, they need to really be thorough, and they need to tell those owners exactly what they want and how they're going to make these players happy, because as you said, I would like to see the players have guaranteed contracts, guaranteed money, and it doesn't have to be for more than 2 years. Like maybe that'd be like a 2-year max on guarantees, and the rest can stay at like it is, but minimum 1-year guarantee regardless of injury or anything, because this is a life-threatening sport. This is a life-debilitating sport. Head injuries, broken legs, torn ligaments, and we're hearing people come out and say they can't run no more, they can't walk no more after they play in the NFL. They're having surgery and they get cut. It's like we're tired of the meat market narrative. We're tired of the slavery narrative, and you need to pay these players what they're worth. They're bringing in so many millions. All these different broadcasting deals with Peacock, with Amazon Prime. And this kind of goes into one of my next topics, which is going to be the Thursday night flexing. Because last season, there has been so much terrible football on Thursday nights. It's like you love the game, but it's like you almost hated to watch Thursday night football because every week it was the same thing. It was like two teams who didn't care about being there, didn't care about playing on Thursday night, and you just see this lethargic and lazy, and you know, it's just like when you watch a football game, you want to see the players energized, you want to see them excited and putting forth effort. You watch those Thursday night games, it's like brothers moving in slow motion, nobody cares, nobody wants to be there. They like, why are we playing after so few days of rest? And now they're flexing in the Thursday night so they can try to put in quality games on a Thursday night. But at the same time, you have fans who've been, you know, putting money and funds and hotel room and accommodations toward a certain weekend or a certain night, a Sunday night, and now that game may be moved to a Thursday. So you're not taking into perspective people who have to plan ahead so far in advance to be able to attend these games. They may not have the lateral movement to just quickly reschedule from, oh, I was going to go out of town Sunday night or go out of town Saturday night. Now I got to go out of town Wednesday night or Thursday morning so I can try to make this game that the NFL move to Thursday night, because everybody's tired of watching sucky games on Thursday night. And it's like, well, just one more thing, and it's also like, I honestly feel the NFL should not have a lot of Thursday night games until like late in the season. That way, at least the players have time to get their bodies used to the grueling season of the pain, the punishment, the physicality, the abuse on their body and the mental. I mean, to just give a guy a football game on a Thursday night after he played on Sunday, it's like, come on, give the guys a break.
Right, yeah. And I mean, the NFL has loads of money. I mean, you got 17 games. I mean, if you're going to have these quick turnarounds.
Yeah, now 18 games.
Huh?
Now it's 18 games. No, my fault. You're right.
17.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, they got the money to give these guys guaranteed paper. I mean, it's not going to, yeah, like you said, the players union. I mean, I'm not real fond of the guy. I think it's Damore Smith, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I just be like, man, what kind of negotiating is going on here? Y'all don't have any leverage, but I mean,
they have leverage. They have leverage that they do not use because everybody wants to protect their millions, but nobody wants to look out for the little guys, the guys who make the league minimum, the guys who constantly get injured during practice, and now they can't play, so now they don't get a game check. So they have leverage that they're just not using to the full.
Yeah, now I just think it's going to have to come down to the quarterback here. Because with anything, your highest paid players or your superstars, they dictate the market, how things are run. And I mean, those guys are going to have to make some kind of sacrifice. Maybe we'll eventually get in there. But I mean, if you're running them guys out there for 17 games and then you're saying, play on Sunday, now play on Thursday. It's not Thanksgiving because we got all this money with Amazon and people
right.
tuning in. And it's just like, come on, man. Y'all got so much money. Just the right. owners are hoarding it all.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, I mean, people are going to keep complaining. I mean, I'm pretty much done with complaining. I'm just like, because people just keep watching now. If the fans, enough fans just stop watching, then maybe that'll change some things too. But people just say, oh, I want my football on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. And so.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, That's interesting stuff. Go to a topic here that's really, I mean, rooted in the NBA, but it can be anybody, and that's the whole Ja Morant thing. I mean, this clown, after all he went through and after being pretty much, he got his slap on the wrist for flashing a gun on IG on his own phone, and then on there in the car, and they jamming out some music. This idiot feels the need to pull out a gun again, and his homeboy drops the phone. I guess, like, dude, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
So, what is he doing? he's
touching the Bill Walton voice.
Yes, in honor of Bill Walton. What is Charles Oakley doing? Grabbing the rim, taking away for a potential three-point play. So, this fool. So, now, the shoe is up in the air. I mean, he had a really nice logo, too, with Nike. Powerade's probably done. And he came out, said what he said he's going to get help. But, I'm expecting at least 25. Mike said he should get the whole season, but I think that's kind of extreme, but maybe that'll get the message through. But I'm seeing at least 25 to close to half, man. I mean, you just got issued. They just kind of brought you in the talk, and a few weeks, not more than 2 months later, you do something even dumber. I mean, I don't know if it's alcohol is keeping him from thinking clearly, or he's just so caught up in his lifestyle.
It could be alcohol. I did hear a rumor, and allegedly he was on an Instagram story or something. He was like chugging tequila or something. And you know, usually with tequila, people drink shots or a mixed drink. But it's like he was just guzzling it straight or whatever. But it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be the influence, it could be, you know, the old saying, athletes want to be rappers and rappers want to be athletes. And he may not realize how blessed he is, how fortunate he is to be able to make that kind of money, generational wealth, playing a child's game and being able to profit off of your name and image and likeness to such a high level, and things just kind of being given to him that he just takes for granted because it all comes so easy. You know, he's a gifted athlete. He's a marketable athlete. He has a large following based on his own personal style, his hair, his cornrows, his own personal swagger and demeanor. But when you start trying to bring a lot of negativity, you don't want to bring a lot of negative energy into your life. And seeing a gun on Instagram and you're a professional athlete and showing that and brandishing that weapon on, you know, strip club or in the car, it's like, that's negative energy because you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's waiting to rob you, who's waiting to jack you, who's waiting to catch you slipping, who's waiting to see if you're going to have your gun when they got their gun. And Memphis is a rough city. I mean, of course, you know, I'm sure he stays in a nice area or, you know, grows with his homeboys and everything. But Memphis is a rough town, and, you know, you never know who's watching you. You got to be careful, and you don't want people to always associate you with a weapon, because when they encounter you, they may have a weapon. They may want to see if you really got that, if you really bought that, as they say, if you really got that kind of energy in you to do something with that gun. Or if they can get the drop on you, and then now they got bragging rights to go back to the hood and say, yeah, I just robbed John Morant. He's a little sucker. He out here flossing, and I caught him slipping. He didn't have his gun when I seen him. And then all the children that you're a role model to and somebody they look up to and admire for your prowess on the court, what kind of message are you sending these kids? So I'm with Mike. I wouldn't say the whole season. I would say, my opinion, at least 41 games, and also a very sizable fine. And that sizable fine should be half of his salary, in my opinion. And also that money should go toward programs for inner city youth and less fortunate, and something that's going to empower people and make people better, or, you know, community service type things where he has to be involved. Like, he definitely cannot get a slap on the wrist for this. He has to show remorse. He has to show contrition. And he has to show that he's learning from his mistakes that he continuously, repeatedly make. Otherwise, something else could happen. And we don't want to see anything bad happen to this young brother, but you just can't keep putting out negative energy. You can't just keep putting yourself in a position where you're brandishing weapons to your fans or whoever's watching you online. And then if something bad happens involving a gun to you or your family, it's like, this is the energy that you've been putting out. Guns kill people. People with guns kill people. And you're showing a gun like it's not a weapon of murder, a weapon of killing. Like, this is not nothing to play with. It's not a toy. And you have to take your life seriously, especially when you've been blessed with so many gifts and so much financial wealth. Now comes, you need the wisdom. You need they're reprimanded. You need to be reprimanded. You need to be corrected so this does not continuously happen. And whoever's around him, they need to really tell him what's at stake and what can be lost. And you could just be another brother back in the hood from where you're from. And he's from South Carolina, but it's like he has to really take a step back and look in the mirror and just see like, okay, where do I want to be in 5 years? Do I still want to be in the league, or do I want to be out of the league because I kept doing dumb stuff, or because the commissioner can't trust me, the team can't trust me, the sponsors can't trust me anymore because I'm just such a risk? He has to ponder those things and meditate on it, see what he come up with.
Definitely. And don't forget the let's not fail to mention the bad parenting. I mean, just to put it simply, I mean, pops all up in the interviews, pops all up all up on the sidelines.
But it's like with the parenting, I think at a certain point, once he became the breadwinner for the family, I think a lot of the parenting went out the window. Because I used to hear a lot of good things about his father, man. It's like, when I first started listening to some of the John Morant interviews and really kind of getting inside his head and what he liked to talk about, one of the main things he used to always say was, his father always told him, like, oh, you ain't doing nothing, that ain't good enough, or so-and-so's doing this, or they better than you, or you gotta keep going. It's like, I don't know what happened to that narrative, but now it's like, his father's doing less correcting and maybe more coddling. And it's like, you can't be like some of these parents, like they go to the schoolhouse and they want to talk to the principal and talk to the teacher like, oh, my child ain't bad, my child ain't did this, my child ain't did that, but you weren't there. So you don't know what your child did while you was at work or you was at home and your child was at school, you know, running amok and doing this, that, and the third. So definitely need less coddling and more corrective, stern talks and chastising to this young man who's putting so much on the line. And of course, he's made a good, pretty penny, but it's so much more he can make. It's so much more he can achieve. Like, he's probably reached the top of the mountain financially, but it's still championships. It's still MVPs. It's still giving back to the community. It's like the marathon ain't done. The marathon keep going, bro.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because you can't. And another podcast, James made a good point about getting somebody on their team like a Haslam or some type of veteran mentorship, because guys are coming in so young now and you're getting into foolish stuff. I mean, I don't know if Carmelo had it, but he had a similar path starting out and he got straightened out. But it's just somebody there to, and I don't know who on that team really can't. I don't think it's really anybody. I mean, and their team is so young, and Stephen Adams is a vet, but he's not from here. He might not be able to relate. They might not be on that level, have that type of.
And then it's probably only also certain people that he would even respect like that to even let them pull him aside and talk a little S to him when he needs it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I mean, he got to humble himself too. I mean, he got to, and just certain things you can't be doing. You can't be, your mom can't be sending you to run up in the mall to check somebody at a shoe store, and then you definitely don't want to be. I don't know if he's throwing up gang signs on the court, but what on videos? Don't be doing that, dude. Like,
do it.
I mean, you got a great story of overcoming. The dude, he was discovered by a scout because I think a guy was hungry. He wanted to, and it was like, oh, it's near that, go that way to get you something to eat. And he was in the other gym when they were there for Zion. And dude was like, oh, we got something here.
Right.
And you got two potentially great players to come out of South Carolina. And I mean, unfortunately, one's hurt, but he's not doing anything like this, and I never saw this coming. Now I did. There was a red flag when I saw him on that plane counting that money, showing off. Something just in my spirit was like, that's not really a good look, man. This could be the beginning of some things we don't want to see, and obviously it is now.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's two great young players coming out of South Carolina. You have Zion, who was like LJ slash Barkley, and then you got Morant, who's kind of like AI slash, you know,
Derrick Rose.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. But it's like these two young players from South Carolina, they both have their own flaws that are kind of showing you they have some growing up to do as far as a professional, as far as a man, because Zion has to get his weight and his diet in check and his conditioning, and John Morant has to get his off the court stuff, his wanting to be maybe more thuggish or more gangster than he actually is, his wanting to live the life of a rapper from the hood or somebody who is so street. Like, you don't have to do that, bro. It's like you in a better position now. But I do understand that, in a sense, when you do have that kind of money and notoriety, sometimes it does attract a lot of negative attention, and people can't want to test you or try to come after you or rob you or try to, try to basically take what you have or, you know, run up on you type stuff. So maybe that's a lot of energy he's been getting. So now maybe he feels he has to be more proactive and letting people know, like, yo, don't test me, don't come after me, because, you know, I got this, I got my boys with me. You're not going to try to extort me or run up on me or take my stuff from me. So maybe he did have people trying to extort him or rob him or come after him or come at him in his family certain kind of way. So now he feels he has to kind of be a little more outspoken about how he tries to protect himself, or he always trapped or whatever. But that's what security is for. That's what bodyguards are for. That's what the police is for. You don't have to put yourself in harm's way. And we hate to see a young brother of his talent, or any young brother for that matter, be taken out by gun violence, because now people are hunting him down or looking for him in the streets because he's putting on a facade that he's really living like that. So the brothers who really is living like that want to see him in the streets and really see if he about what he say about.
What do you think Yo Gotti's influence on his life has been?
I don't think it's been a positive one. I mean, I don't know,
that's
man.
The only person I can bring to mind. I don't know of anybody else in that area. I don't know if NBA YoungBoy's in that area. I know Blueface isn't out there. I know Lil Baby's here, and I'm not sure what Da Baby is, but.
Well, you got to remember too, like, as a popular, top-notch NBA player, you know, he probably got a lot of them same guys you mentioned on speed dial or in this Texas, you know what I'm saying? So he may communicate with these guys, and they may, you know, try to give him little nuggets of jewelry here and there, but I think the best nuggets of jewelry is just, like, listening to somebody who's not trying to get anything from you, who don't want nothing from you, but just want to see you succeed and better yourself as a man and as an athlete and as a professional.
Yeah, well said. Definitely. So let's we'll, when that decision that that let's say iron fist comes down, that sword comes down, we'll see what the, because I mean, they're not rushing. I thought I would hear something by now, but still haven't heard anything. But I'm pretty sure it's coming soon. Whenever, it'll definitely be before next season, I think.
He will not start next season as a player in uniform. No way. No way. No way. So I say, personally, my opinion, half of the season, 41 games exactly, and also half of his salary donated to various charities, maybe in the Memphis area throughout the state. That's my personal, if I had to hand down a punishment for him, that's what I would say.
Yeah, that'd be a good use of the money, because all the money is guaranteed. Well, you're fine. You can be fine. I mean, he can't void his contract. Well, hopefully he don't get there, because it can be voided.
and it probably should be voided, to be honest. It probably should be voided.
Yeah, what's y'all in the NFL as we get ready to get close to close this thing out?
Well, the last thing I was going to touch on was just, as we're in a period right now where NFL is not actively having any games right now. And for a lot of NFL fans, you know, after the Super Bowl, it was kind of like a little brief a little brief depression, a lot of anxiety. It's like, you know, football came to the climax. It's like everybody waiting for Super Bowl. After Super Bowl, it's like, oh man, I gotta wait all this time for the next season. So one thing I was just thinking about was like some of the best football movies and TV shows that I like from back in the day and whatever. And I had a little list here, put as Friday Night Lights, you know, the program with Omar Epps and Coach Consigliere, James Caan, you know, Halle Berry as Autumn, any given Scarface with Al Pacino.
Sunday, baby.
You know what I'm saying? Any given Sunday, Chris Tucker actually refused the role. And I think Chris Tucker was supposed to be Jamie Foxx in that movie, man.
I always heard Puffy. Yeah. Oh, for real? I always heard Puffy.
Yeah, and Puffy might have Puffy might have refused it after Chris Tucker. But I heard with Puffy it was like a scheduling thing. He just had too much going on. But we did get that infamous Jamie Foxx LL Cool J fight, which they included in the movie. And also Al Pacino and Cameron Diaz as Alvera, I mean the coach's owner's daughter.
Right.
And Craig T. Nelson as Coach Hayden Fox in the show Coach. That's just some of my favorite football films and television shows. What about you, man?
Definitely Any Given Sunday's high. I can watch that probably more than once a year. I think we should, now that we got this platform and have come together for this segment, this show within our shows, because I was looking on YouTube and I found one review and it was okay. I feel like they should have touched on more points, but we need to do an Any Given Sunday review.
Right.
It's just some of the best parts, and just a deep dive into some of the characters, because yeah, some unique characters on there. Some extreme stuff. Some stuff that's probably definitely goes along with what really happens. The program is a big one too. Man, I hate that they cut playmakers the way they did. I always like playmakers on ESPN.
Yeah, they had to cut that one. It was too real. NFL didn't like that.
ESPN wanted that NFL contract. They wanted to get Monday Night Football. Because remember it was Sunday Night Football with, who was it? Al McGuire? No, Joe Theismann and what's the other guy's name? McGuire or something. And they used to be bad, man. they never would have good games on Sunday night. Like it was rarely. And I don't know if I said Friday Night Lights. Good picture. Very inspiring. Very, you know, it hits you emotionally as well.
Yeah.
Because of just the shattered dreams. And something a little more current that I keep watching. I do like All American. It's for the teens, but I see they just updated it on Netflix, so the new season should be on there. So I thought they when that came out, they had a based on true events, and they don't play that much football all the time. And the school they go to is called Golden Angeles.
What, bro?
Golden Angeles. But they put UCLA in the show. And they actually had Chip Kelly, and the main character was recruited there, but it didn't work out. So they ended up going to, they were naming some other schools, and then they ended up going to Golden Angeles.
Okay.
The main character, Spencer, he's kind of like a, well, he's a good wide receiver, but he ended up getting shot, and he losing feeling in his hand, in his arm, didn't know if he was going to be able to keep playing. It's kind of a running back, kind of a do-it-all like they do in high school. Usually Tay Diggs had him kind of a do-it-all because he went outside of his district to go to Beverly Hills High. He left Crenshaw High, but then he ended up going back. Right. And there's a whole bunch of drama within there. He got wondering where his dad was, mom a single parent. But had some gang stuff early on, but it's I you didn't watch the XFL, man, with the gamblers, the renegades, the The Roughnecks, come on, man.
I didn't really check out the XFL, but I have been hearing a little bit of XFL news. I don't know how everything went financially for their third iteration of the XFL and first season of the third iteration. But I did hear they fired the marketing executives, and they're also going to shift away from full-time employees to a seasonal work model. So maybe the marketing that they had in place, maybe they weren't that good, or maybe they're just trying to, you know, keep the overhead low during the off season. So we'll see what happens with the XFL, though.
Yeah, the other night, every so often, if it's nothing on, if I just need some background noise, as opposed to putting on baseball, I have put on the USFL, but it's just kind of been on because I'll look at it, like, okay, it's really nothing to watch. I'll just put this football game, or maybe I'll see a replay or something good. But it seemed like the fans in the area are kind of showing up a little more, and they they're pressing forward with it. I give them credit for that. I mean, I know in the XFL they got Bob Stoops as the coach. Okay. Wade Phillips, I think he's there too. Like, this dude is so old.
He's been everywhere. Right. He's been everywhere.
Everywhere. So, but I was surprised to see, like, Manziel isn't showing up. I mean, who are some other? I can't think of any other guys. I guess there aren't that many big name guys to try to go there and play. I mean, I guess Manziel's done with football. I can't think of anyone else who flamed out young or just,
he's probably like one of the few in that category that would probably get a few eyeballs on the game.
What about Kaepernick? He says he wants to play. What?
I don't know. I don't know how serious he's about playing, but also with the activism going on, and he recently had a baby too. It's like football may not be on his radar anymore. Also, he may have been just so hell-bent on getting back in the NFL, and they refused to give him that opportunity. So he may just have a sour taste in his mouth and be like, I'm done with football.
What about, I'm surprised Cam didn't give it a chance, even though he listed the teams he would play for, who he would play, who he would back up.
Yeah, but you know, with Cam, it's like, he may feel that he's too big and too good for the XFL or USFL. Like, he may feel he's done too much in the NFL to take an XFL job. And truth of the matter is, he probably should be on somebody's training camp roster at least. If he doesn't make the team, he probably should at least be on the roster of a team and get a call or a tryout or something. But it's politics involved, it's favoritism involved, it's some racism involved, it's some, you know, you're too loud, you're too outspoken, you know, you wear these loud outfits, you know, and you're not as productive as you once were. So he may not want to humble himself enough to be on a roster right now. Because there's no way he shouldn't still be in the league.
Yes, it's all about humility with him. I mean, I assume his podcast is doing well, but rule one thing, you can't come on there and suggest who you would play for and who you would compete against. I mean, you're
you have no control over that. You don't just say, I want to play for this team. They gotta want to sign you, bro.
I mean, just say I would be willing to back up anybody and not.
There we go.
I want to compete with Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott.
No.
Can you really do that? Can you compete with Brock Purdy? Can you compete with? I mean, Derek Carr.
Brock Purdy is a gunslinger, man.
I think Purdy. He get back healthy, man. He was
looking good, man.
Yeah, they hit on that pick. Was he the last pick?
Last pick of the draft.
Mr. Irrelevant? Is that what they called it?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean if you wanna mentor some of these young guys, but
it's not gonna be all about you, bro. That's the main thing. It's not gonna be all about you. It's not going to be a Cam Newton package.
Yeah.
You got to learn the same playbook as everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like if he could have went to one of those leagues and just, I mean, show out, ride on your last little bit of glory or greatness. I mean, go to that league and just shine. But I don't know if it was set up or he just, I don't know how he feels about it. Maybe I need to check out his podcast and see what he thinks about the XFL or the USFL.
I think not even looking at his podcast or knowing, you know, what he would say, I just feel like with him, his ego and his laurels and his accomplishments to him makes him too big or too successful to go to the minor league of NFL. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's probably right on point. I mean, it's like I said, when you come out and say who you will play for and who you want,
no. Not a good look. Not a good look.
I would sit behind you in class, Cam, but your head's a little too big for me to see the board.
That's right. Well, look, bro, my phone about to go dead, man. Yeah. But
yeah,
I want to thank you for hooking up with me with this fusion of our podcast.
Yeah,
the recent Rob Show, What's That Matter, NFL, NBA, top topics, top news, top stories, and we thank y'all for listening and viewing wherever y'all at, and pick it out, Reese.
Yeah, man, that's well said. Check out Rob on the Rob U Sports Show. Me, All Basketball Podcast, Spotify, Google, Apple, YouTube, especially Spotify really helps us out because we want to get one of those ads.
Just one.
But yeah, Rob, it's been good, man. We've hit by the hour mark. This has been good. Let's keep it going. And till next time, peace.
Peace. Yes, sir. Take it easy.
You too.